I'll call it to order. Welcome. Glad to have you here. I understand that everybody except for Matthew, who probably will be here, and Jesse is here. Is that correct, David?
Yes, sir.
And you're representing your board.
Yes.
I hope that the segregation that happened naturally here is not an indication of our inability to coordinate.
Thank you, Karen.
As I understand it, folks, does everybody know everybody? Yeah, everybody know everybody? Okay, just for the sake of Letty, who's keeping notes, can we start right here with Karen and go around this way? Karen Mayo.
Sure. Hi, Karen Mayo. I am the Vice President of Sales, Services, and Strategic Alliances for the Fredericksburg Convention and Visitor Bureau.
My name is David Shields, Chair of the CVB, and I represent the National Museum of the Pacific War.
Amanda Kuhn, Vice President of Marketing and Public Relations.
Susan Johnson on the CVB Board, Texas Heritage.
A.K. Welch, also on CVB Board, Exec Committee, and have Western Edge and some other
committees. Chris Pernu, Board and Executive Board, Aerosol Vineyards and Yano Estacado.
Kit Patterson, co-owner, Lickenbach, Texas, and board member.
Jenny Stout, VP of Finance and HR at the CVB.
You need to let me know.
Carol Hoover, Todd Edson, Emily Kirchner, Garrett Bond, Letty Bosak, Clinton Bailey, and Bobby Watson. Thank you all. I know all of you have at least one business, done several. As I understand it, the reason for this meeting was to, it's long overdue, and that is for us to have a good open conversation about relationship between the city's interests and what we're in control of and what you're in control of and what you do to maximize the impact of our Convention Visitors Bureau. It felt good that this would be the right time since we're in a leadership transition and to lay maybe a new foundation. May I encourage you, please, do not leave this meeting with any questions that you did not ask. Do not leave this meeting with any perceived misunderstandings. I'm not sure what was said, was that meant, whatever. That's what this is about. Drill down to absolute knowledge of what you need to know. And same with the council, but I know my council, I don't have to say that because that's who they are in any way. But we've not met as a group before. And obviously there's probably some missing relationship. Come in, Matthew, we're waiting on you. Well, we're not waiting on you, but we're glad to see you.
You know what? Actually, this is a great chair.
She was holding it warm for you.
But I'm happy. There we go.
Turns out New City Hall is farther away from my house than Old City Hall.
Whatever, you slept late.
Yes. There will be a day when there won't be an option. It'll always be here. Want to make to build relationships and to clear misunderstandings if they exist, but also to share. I know that my council has our council has a view of what they would like the CVB to accomplish. I don't know. I've not heard any specific. There are terrible gaps in what's going on here. I just think that there's a better opportunity for better understanding here. I recognize that there have been some changes recommended and talked about over the last year or so, and let's clear the air about all of those to make sure we're all on the same page. We all want the same thing. You want the city to support you beautifully, thoroughly, consistently, effectively, and we want the Convention and Visitors Bureau to know that we support them and feel that the work that they're doing is exactly what we need for now. And we know two, that the work of the CVB changes with new economic circumstances. Everything changed drastically in 2020. And we're still paying, I think, we're still paying for some ramifications of that economically in town. Obviously, the explosion of winery trade in Fredericksburg over the last, anybody, what number do you use when it started? 20 years ago, 15, 10? What do you say?
When we first started our promotion,
it's about 10.
Yeah, it was over 10.
Okay, so I'm talking about when it really became a tsunami, not just when it was aware 2018
was probably.
Yeah, so under 10 years.
Yeah.
That's my perception too. And I think the constituents that talk to me feel like, what's happened in the last 10 years? You know, everything's about wine. So all of those things require nimble decision making, but most of all, it requires a great relationship between the city and the count and the CVB. I would like to start, please, with an explanation of what we believe is the proper relationship between the city government, of which we are in charge, and the CVB. Clinton, would you start that conversation? Council, any of you speak up at any time.
Well, I don't know how to put it in exact terms, but it's a relationship that the city has with an organization that promotes Fredericksburg for consisting both in tourism.
With a legal link. What's in the paperwork?
I'm not sure I can speak to the legal
link. Okay, who can?
In terms of CVB or in terms of how they're funded?
CVB and City Council. Are we in charge?
Well, the bylaws state that we approve the budget and we fund so much stated amount or percentage, and kind of have control over that money. And
we approve any new members.
Approve new members, and so in a way, yes, we are. If you read the bylaws, we're in charge. But
okay.
But yeah.
Not trying to make a big point. I just want to make sure to clarify. The bylaws require the city council to approve board members, correct?
Yes. Right.
Also, the bylaws expect from the CVB a routine report on activities.
Yes.
The city council requires an annual approval of the budget, which requires obviously lead time in review and opportunity to revise. Okay. I don't. Anything else?
The city council approves any amendments to their bylaws.
Right. Understanding? Okay. I've been mayor 10 of the past 20 years, and I don't know that we have ever had a routine time for the CVB to report. Am I missing anything from y'all's? Okay. That's on us. It is our responsibility to say, hey, we'd like for you guys to come and report on like first quarter, second quarter, whatever. We have been, in my view, we have been derelict in that. Maybe derelict is too strong of a word, but we've been negligent in not, because what that does is not only it breaks their chain of information, but it makes it sound like we don't really care. And we do. So that when we can't come all of a sudden say, oh, all of a sudden we care. And that's what you've been dealing with, I think, is a little bit of whiplash. I want to fix that. Now, I won't be mayor this time next year, but I hope to have an influence on what happens between now and May with regard to this process. Any questions, comments? What else do we need to know about what you do and how you need the city council to interact?
Don't feel like you've been pointed out. We realize with the Economic Development Commission, we've asked for the same thing to start getting more.
Right.
I do provide Krista quarterly financial statements, but I really like the idea of us, not us, but, you know, our leader presenting on a quarterly basis.
Well, I want to make sure to be clear, Jenny, that we're not suggesting that there's not adequate transparency in the financing. Yeah. We're talking about a specific time for you to come and speak to the council because it's public.
Yes.
I think we're in favor of anything that increases communication between council and the city.
That's what I know of you individually. Is there any misunderstanding regarding that in the relationship between the city council's responsibility to picking board, choosing budget, and requiring routine reports? And I know you're all agree to that. So, yeah. David, would we in communication, let's say that you got somebody on board in the next 2-3 months, and would we primarily communicate to that person and you, just them, just you? How would you prefer?
I think ideally we want to have a professional staff, and ours is an oversight. We have a monthly opportunity to do just that. I would think that, I don't know if in our target is to hire someone in April. That's what we're looking for in that first kind of first wave. That'd be great. I think on the day-to-day operations, now I don't want to set this as a precedent. I'm in this role this year. This is just a free conversation. But having been in the role, serving two different boards in this state, in this city, I've always encouraged a professional staff, not that kind of overseeing approach. Even a copied email seems to be too much. I have the responsibility every month to go and talk to that president of the CVB, the CEO, CVB. I think you have a direct relationship to the staff. That's my sense. And then we have that monthly opportunity, if I see something, to contact the city at that point. Okay. But I'm happy for Matthew to step in and see what your experience has been on that.
I don't have prior experience, so.
Or your instinct.
Just your preference. I think David is right. I think having the primary conduit continue to go through the CEO is probably the most appropriate. But to reiterate what I said, I think more communication, whether formal or informal, is to the positive.
And the CEO then communicates with staff.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And then so that you understand the rhythm, we meet once a month from the executive board with the CEO. The CVB board executive meets once a month, and then about 10 days later, the full board meets. So I think we internally have the opportunity to have those communications from the exec, the board, to the staff. So that's why I'd like to see, to encourage the CEO to know they have that relationship and that responsibility. If anything that I've noticed in the past 3 years was that initial relationship from the CEO to you all started to become less active. So that's not, we want to encourage that from the get-go. We have just approved a job description last week. It went live last week, and it emphasizes that professional need to have formal relationships in this community, informal relationships, understanding where they need to be throughout the week when we're doing these different events, so that they are available for answering questions. We've produced great data that's out there that it supports what the CVB is doing, that is in the best interest, supports the best interest of the community. But a lot of the community doesn't know that. And it is the job of the CEO of the CVB to get out there and be the chief communicator, to be the chief whip, to get out there and to support you all, what you're doing running the city. And so I feel like to answer your question, you have that communication with the staff. We then have that relationship with the CEO on the monthly basis.
Good. Then we'll set this meeting as the time when we all agree that communication will be greatly improved between the two organizations, that we will reach out both to each other when we need to. I'm speaking for myself, not for council, and council knows that they can speak up anytime with their particular view. But my view is this. When you have a personality in the lead role that the council might feel like we need a little better or more or whatever, it's my view that the council should be stepping up to talk to that person and say, we'd like for you to do more in this way. Could we get that from you? That's the way professional management handles things like that, rather than, well, we haven't heard from them. What's up with that? It's our job as well to initiate contact, to say, this is our expectation. Can we get that better? I invite the board to do the same thing for the council, because we all want the same thing. We want Fredericksburg to thrive beautifully, continue to do so, and we want to partner together to make each other's work good and fill any gaps where they are. Council, any additions, annotations, changes, corrections?
David, sorry.
Go ahead.
I love what you said, and I agree wholeheartedly. I think one of the biggest misses we have in our community is that we are so reliant on tourists, but then the residents have a frustration with the tourists. I know there's a tension, there's always going to be a tension there, but I think we can do a better job of showing the impact that tourism has, whether it's the half cent sales tax that, you know, is a property tax relief for people here,
or, you know, sales tax funding our general fund, it does benefit residents. So maximizing HOT, which we can get into later. I think there's a great opportunity to tell the story better so that people see the benefit of tourism.
To speak to that, Emily, I like that a lot, and what he said as well. It's educating on what it brings to them, but also what we're doing, and that we're not just opening the gates and saying run, and that it's actually a strategic plan to help the city and to help our residents. And so I think it is more education and coming out. And also to give kudos to the board, the job description that they put out, I think the council is going to be really, really pleased with, because it speaks a lot to the relationship and how they need to stand up to the city and to the council.
So has the job description been altered significantly, or added to, or?
Completely
revised.
Absolutely.
And that represented both the board's understanding over 3 years, what their needs were, and then what you all have experienced.
Yeah.
So it was very we felt like we were, from an organization, very responsive. We wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to support this change or enhance going forward a better communication level so that the new CEO can do the role of being our champion spokesman or spokesperson for this role.
Is the job description available online, or could we get a copy of it just to?
I can. Our website, and we can send it to you. Yeah,
that'd be great.
If just you wouldn't.
Yeah, I can do that.
Distributing that to the city council would be nice. The website has the general address.
Yeah.
I think the tonality of it, you'll definitely see right. That this was a.
Great.
Is there a programmatic element added? Because one of my big beefs, y'all heard about this, that we statutorily can spend 15% on historic preservation, 15% on the arts. And then after 2 years, I found out that it was 99% going towards promoting and marketing. And I would love to see any kind of flexibility y'all have to be able to go towards programs that would leverage tax dollars to benefit residents and locals.
And sorry, you spoke to just really deep knowledge of the tax code, the implications to it, how to properly use it. That's already in there to get a really strong CEO to come in that would understand how to best use that for our community. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I hear you correctly? I know the 15% statute. You were saying, though, that in your review, it looked like 99% was going to advertising and marketing in general.
I'd been asking for 2 years for right. The breakdown, right. Dollar by dollar, and then the report that came back, report, it was an
got
email
it.
Said, okay. Safe to say 99% was used toward advertising.
The way it was being spent. Got it. Okay.
I have a question. Since I do the, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Since I do the financials, I would like to know, I would love to sit down in, because we do promote the arts a lot within our marketing. And so just kind of get an idea of what our idea of promotion of the arts is versus what you were getting. Because even though it is marketing, it is promoting the arts.
And totally. So, and that's what I wanted to see.
Okay.
What money is being spent towards yeah. that. And I was told that the coding or whatever couldn't be.
It can be done.
It can
be.
Even on the way out, he just said, well, 99%.
We are able to absolutely track that. We were unaware that there was an ask for that, and easily nimble to fix that, where we can show that in each market what is going heavily arts and historic right. preservation. It's our city that we are heavily involved in that. We just have not done a good job in showing the numbers. Right. So
love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we'd be happy to connect and see like what method of reporting would be best. Is it super visual? Is it data only? Is it more storytelling? Whatever anything. That may be, great. So, I mean, plain data is fine.
Sure.
I mean, we could definitely do that.
Jenny, could you separate it out for me? What are the specifics, if you can remember any? I know that's putting you on the spot, for what you consider arts.
What goes to arts?
I will be
honest. The girls here are the ones that are out there doing it. So they tell me what goes to arts.
Okay,
because I'm not the one that's placing the marketing ads or the social media campaigns or going out there and selling it.
Okay.
And so,
what I'm asking for is your general impression of what you consider arts that is being funded by the
that
city.
Is a conversation we actually had yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We would like to get y'all's definition of what promotion of the arts and historic preservation is, because historic preservation can mean two different things.
Right.
but also what, because arts in our realm might be different from what y'all are thinking.
I think they probably are. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm asking you is, because you said that, that there has been a significant amount charged or going to arts.
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm asking you is, what are those arts that have been significantly funded?
To be clear, Gerald, I think we're kind of talking about two different things. Emily was asking about programmatic stuff. The arts that we're currently engaged in is going to be all marketing and promotion of the arts. Right. And so that's where I think we need some clarity. So what does the statute actually allow, and where can we get smart and creative about
it? And we need to be more specific in our desires as well. What I'm asking, it's an okay if you don't know. Yeah. It's not a test question. It's not a gotcha. I'm just curious, what are you considering arts now? Is it live music? Is it visual only? Is it, what is it?
Live music, performing arts, art galleries. It's a very wide range of art-related themes, along with history and heritage and culture. Very wide. The tricky part is both of those definitions can really get intricate really quick, and I think we need to have the discussion to
point.
What does it mean to you, and what are the valuable pieces of those definitions that we can carry on?
I share what the statute says, what arts is? So it is the encouragement, promotion, improvement, and application of the arts, including instrumental and vocal music, dance, drama, folk art, creative writing, architecture, design and allied fields, painting, sculpture, photography, graphic and craft arts, motion pictures, radio, TV, tape, and sound recording, and other arts related to the presentation, performance, execution, and exhibition of these major art forms. And then in order to be in compliance, satisfying requirement, recipient presents, performs, promotes, encourages, or otherwise makes possible events, performances, programs, exhibitions, or lectures involving the major art forms listed above. The hot funded programs and events are advertised and open to the general public, and the recipient directly enhances and promotes tourism in the convention and hotel industry. So there's that two-step thing.
Was that generally your understanding?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We'll promote that in any, whether it's marketing or if I am bringing a group of bikers in the city, I'll have a musician jump on the bus and bring them and bring them all the way in. We'll go as granular and as large on a huge list. We have not in the past been set up to show.
Well, this is an opinion, Council. My opinion is that a street entertainer or whatever is not necessarily an arts-specific worthy of a hot fund. In other words, what I'm reading here is that the statute intends for it to be organizations that provide events. Is that too restrictive? That's what I heard.
But the organization could be anything.
Sorry?
Organization sponsoring it would be pretty wide open.
But see, that's where I quibble, but that's my personal opinion. You're doing what? What is it?
A very luxury, high-end music festival production that will be in Vineyards, yes, of course. Multi-venue event that will take place in March that we have title sponsored. Yeah.
So is there a 501c doing that, or is that just the Reserve just hired some people, or what is it?
The Hill Country Reserve is an event production company through For Rent, so they will be producing the event, and we are
So it's a private for-profit business that is partnering with an art organization, or they're just doing it all themselves.
They hire several different musicians to produce.
Okay. So they're doing it themselves. Okay. All right.
They're highlighting our region, so basically their clientele is coming in playing music to be picked up by artists local. Because of our region's known arts, this was the ideal place for it.
Well, are we?
We are, actually. Yeah.
In what way?
Maybe internally we don't feel it. Externally, it is felt.
Yeah. Okay, and that's primarily in live music and support and sponsored events by for-profit businesses or what?
Well, speaking on the sales side, if it was maybe Latin America, it's our art gallery that really
it's a visual arts. Okay.
If it's a tie through UK coming in through Austin, it would be the live music.
Okay.
It could be an artist that's, it's all different depending on.
Okay.
Now in marketing, it may be completely different.
Good. Well, I see some room for clarification there. Okay. What about historic preservation? Because that was another thing that you asked about, Emily.
I haven't found the the exact statute.
Because that's another one that could be broad, right?
Revenue from HOT may be used only to promote tourism, conventions, and retail industry, historical restoration and preservation projects or activities or advertising and conducting solicitations and promotional programs to encourage tourists and convention delegates to preserve historic sites or museums.
Preserve historic sites.
Or museums.
Okay. So I think what we operate with is a general tendency to think broader than programs. Like a heritage site's gonna have a spring break or something. But it's the entire year's work of that organization and what they do. Like I've had a conversation, I used to be the ED at the Pioneer Museum with the Historical Society, as did David. And one of the things that we dreamed about was to have the opportunity to expand programming to become more than a set of buildings that people walk through and were done in 45 minutes, that there was a broader program interpretation. As time goes on, some of the folks who contribute to the Historical Society for a different purpose have gone away. And unfortunately, their passion for keeping that heritage alive has not been communicated to the next generation and the next generation, next generation. That's what I perceived in my time there. And it was just too precious to lose, but there are new audiences, new ways of interpreting, which you know, which the Nimitz has done a beautiful job recently, by the way, with the new George Bush Gallery attempting to appeal to a newer audience that has different perspective about what historic interpretation is to them and meaningful. That's prime for hot money for the museum. And it's not just painting and putting a roof on and repairing a chimney in a historic building. It is expanding, and in my view, startup seed money for programming that can be long lasting. So that's the kind of historic preservation that excites me. Response?
Well, so a lot of times in sales and marketing, you really need to lean into what's going to drive them into town so that they can experience that. And it's not always just that programmatic event at the historic that is going to bring them to Fredericksburg. So you need to lean in sometimes on what the natural inclination is, but then for us to support the historic ones we're in and also promote and send it out. So I'm actually attending the Texas Historical Society's annual conference where they have brainstorming in on how do we do this. As a country, we realize we need all to go back in more to the arts, but how do we make that something? And it is that experiential kind of moment on it. And so we're excited to look in there and see how we can create new experiences through our history and our arts and everything else, because that is a driver into the city.
I think we're talking.
It is a painful. What are you saying?
No, I think we're talking the same thing.
Yeah.
I know that it's necessary for historic preservation when you have a lot of historic buildings, yes, especially in a campus that's dedicated to that.
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive to uphold it, to maintain those historic buildings, because whenever you have a fix, it's never cheap. and so that's part of it. But Karen, I am saying that we ought to expand the historic preservation, ought to be on not just an event, spring break, whatever, but an ongoing, this is where this happens in this place. I'm going to Fredericksburg, you've been to tell a local story, the frontier, blah, blah, blah. It is absolutely fantastic. My kids loved it, et cetera. And it's a year-round program. That's the dream.
That's so easy to stop.
Can y'all speak about the U.S. Cultural and Heritage Marketing Council?
What's presented? Right. Yeah, we've put it on hold, because of the change.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was something that I think we were all pretty excited about, which
I agree.
And y'all make sure I say it correctly, but it was to bring a group in
to start educating or start educating, figuring out what our historical groups needed, like the small the
schools.
The country schools and the Pioneer and whatever, whoever else they were, to bring them all together. And this group kind of would look at what to make a holistic marketing approach, because the country schools, they don't have a marketing budget. They don't have any, may not have a real sophisticated way of getting out there and letting folks know. So this group would come in, bring everybody together, and start trying to come up with a plan to where we market it as a whole. This is our historical, whatever we have, you know, this is what you come to Fredericksburg for. You don't have to just go to the Civic War Museum or Pioneer. There's all these other things too that may be less represented but are just as cool. And so this, and that's the cultural thing. Is that, did I say that right? That's pretty much, and we were really excited about that, but we just, because of the commitment and trying to get it all together and somebody who spearheaded it, we put it on hold.
I like
that. Because of that. But we were very excited about what we thought that could do, because I think that's an untapped area, especially with some of the lesser known historical events.
The country schools like that, we do on smaller levels. We work with the Texas Hill Country Trails Passport Program, and so we will actually support what that is travelers that are coming in through the Texas Hill Country. They get this kind of passport book, and you go throughout the city and you get a stamp, and then once you fill your passport, you go. So we pay for the country schools to be involved. We'll pay for it. We want to make sure that we're represented well. So even on a smaller level, that we are trying to stay involved and do that. Yeah.
We've had a conversation with the Texas Historic Commission, who just took over the fort, about co-branding, but co-marketing, like the Pioneer, and do it all together. Come see the fort, come see Sauer Beckman, see the Pioneer, and market together. So there might be some opportunity there.
Yeah, they're very aligned with that program.
Bringing them together and doing some sort of organized, structured plan for that. And
right. And David over there said they'd be happy to do that. So
I checked out for a second, so maybe you answered my question. My personal interest in the expansion of Fredericksburg is in historic preservation and arts. And I'll be spending full time doing that once I'm not in this chair. I have tried to get my colleagues to understand that there is an organization in town who can market them much better than themselves. And that they come and they file these applications for the small amounts. We're going to have our event and we need $3,000, whatever. And they don't have anybody on board who's marketing savvy, who knows where to place that money to get the best result. And I tell them, we have an organization in town that we support with a lot of dough and a lot of professional relationship that is super at this. So why would not y'all combine and say, we're having this, 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 and this, and this in the first quarter of 2026. And we think we need X amount, but we want you to do it. Would that be okay? Am I correct in saying that would be a good plan?
That's already a conversation that we've been having.
Okay. And I don't know what the resistance to it is, unless it is that people think, well, if I don't do my own, I'm not going to get enough. But then my experience is these great people who do these wonderful things every year in town don't know what is enough. They don't know how and where to target their money to get the maximum response. Whereas if they were, like you say, Karen, what I'm hearing, I think you say, is imagine a piece of material that says, here's all the great historical things going on in Fredericksburg. And they become part of that and know that every year they're going to get some hot money to do their particular thing, but that the control of it in terms of how it goes, where
the CVB has the professional standards to measure the return on investment of that.
Yeah.
So each one of those organizations, those smaller organizations, can see the rise or decrease in number of visitation and going to those organizations so they can feel comfortable that by being a part of that consortium, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
it's benefiting them. And then the residents can say, well, it's not just about this or that. Whatever's beef. Benefiting. Oh, it is benefiting the arts. Oh, it is benefiting this. And that benefits them on a regular 7 day a week approach. I mean, that's one of the things we always hear too, right? That it's everything seems to be geared Thursday through Sunday. And these things are ongoing. They are part of the infrastructure of our community. And so I think that's a practical side of it too. What we're thinking.
Yes.
It's
that. Well, having been a nonprofit all my life, what I know is that we're busy doing our thing, our mission, and we rarely have anybody to do marketing well. So
we want to do that thing.
I think I agree. So if any part that I can help, okay, well, I'm just saying that that's my personal thrust, and if I can continue to do that when I'm not in this chair anymore, for my colleagues in the Historic Preservation and Arts business, count me in. So we'll become best friends about that, because I know that maximizing those dollars, I said that. All right.
I'm thrilled. I just want to say I'm thrilled. I talked about this years ago, and it seems that the conversation devolved from that, where y'all are the experts in marketing and knowing where to place the ads for these groups. It somehow changed into, we just kind of tweaked our application form for HOT. Okay, you know, that was really impactful. So I'm thrilled. I do want to know on a practical level, I'm, you know, organization ABC that's been here forever and usually gets $2,000. How can y'all show to them that we are promoting y'all so they don't feel the need to come and ask us for $100 here, $100 there? Like, what would that look like? Y'all need more staff to do that? Can you do it in just saying, we have a, you know, this is our more staff?
Don't say more staff.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All options. I'm teasing you, Amanda, because I know I know it is. I'm sorry. Did you finish your question? Okay. Respond to that.
I think we have some great reporting structures in place. We'd have to work together to determine like what is valuable to not only that audience but you all as well. But I think we could do that with our CRM, quite frankly, to just present that information at whatever rate they need it, quite frankly, even if it was down to like monthly, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see anticipator problem. We would just need to walk through.
I think the biggest hurdle would be getting the organizations that are asking for the marketing to feel comfortable that we're going to do it. And you know, the way they want, I shouldn't say the way they want to, but how they're used to seeing it too. They're going to be letting go of something that's really, really important and special to them. And so we just have to really be frank and be like, you know what, we know what we're doing. This is what our job is.
Right.
And
I'm not going out there and
do a great job for you.
There's one organization that I've been saying this for years, but it's the German choirs. I mean, we can make an argument that it's arts, but it's also history. And
it's both. We can tag them as both, and we can include them however.
You know, the hot money that they get. I mean, I don't know if they have any heads and beds. I think one year he said, I think maybe we had one person spend the night, but who knows? But that's their whole budget for the year to do these concerts. And I think if we lose that we lose a part of our heritage and we lose a part of our history. And I think we need to work hard to save that.
Just for sheer transparency, we have a really solid relationship with Scott Joslin, and we've even discussed eventually, like if there was another position that was just dedicated to that, to maybe having him on the board. We just have a really easy phone call relationship, so we can keep things really clean and moving forward. But our whole heart is marketing for the arts and the German choir and the history and heritage. So this is a perfect conversation.
So what I question is the German choir. I'm not sure what dollar amount. Why can't they say we're giving that to CBB?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
We're working with them right now. So they will be, one of the German choirs will be singing on the 18th at Mark Plotz. But we also have the German choir carolers 7 days during the holiday season. Walking down.
That's where we have this information, but we are not.
I'm pretty convinced that most of those organizations would not be averse to giving that up, because most of the time I hear we have 20 something applications every year, 23, 4, 26. And I'll bet if we did a poll of those 26, there'd be quite a number of them would say, I would love not to have to do this. But we can't afford to let that money sit on the table if it's available to us. But if we were to say, the money's still available to you to maximize your event or your group or your organization, and the CVB will take the responsibility for making sure that it goes, because there's the economy of scale, I know, in the way that you advertise. And that people are in town for that weekend or whatever, and they partake. I think they'd be fine with that. They don't necessarily want to handle the money, do the marketing. This is what I hear, most of them. Some may have whiz bangs on their organization that can do that, but most don't. But you would have to be responsible for saying to them individually and personally, which would be my preference, here's what we did for your organization. How'd it go? What can we do better? Did you hear from other people? Whatever. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that was been our miss all along.
Okay. When Mr. Dooley was on the council with me years ago, and we had this debate within the council about what is the appropriate response to these small organizations who ask for $2,500, $3,000, whatever, do they act? Can they come up and say, we proved that we put 20,000 beds that made this much money for the town, et cetera, et cetera? And that was difficult for the council because, as I say, those people could not necessarily create that data. But Mr. Dooley made the point, this contributes to the tapestry of what Fredericksburg is to the world, to the people who come here and so forth. So there is a way in if it fits the statute, which I know Mr. Joslov is all about. But we've been doing this for a long time because of what you were saying, the German choirs and so forth.
But he, I think, he understands our city and sees our, so he could get.
I think so too. But I still think that would be an improvement to just ask them to start moving their needs for marketing to the people who do it well, because they're not going to lose. That's the thing. If they know they're not going to lose out on anything, they all feel like they have to get part of the money, you know, and fill this application out and so forth. If we can change to a different, thank you for that. Anything else? I'm going to move to the $1 million.
I had a conversation with staff a while back after Brady's departure. And I had a conversation with Clinton. CVB is not really a department, but they are closely aligned with the city. My suggestion was they could do a weekly update just like our department heads.
Monthly or quarterly seems too long.
Yeah, but we could just get a
weekly too much.
Well, you're talking about every time.
One more report.
No, because I love the communication. I love opening in this conversation.
I didn't know about the carolers.
I knew.
I'd have loved to know.
Well, let's start with weekly. Clinton, I would like for you, please, to, it's 9:43. I'd like for you to address the genesis of the $1 million question. And how would you, what's your perception of how that started, what our desire were it was? We admit that there was some gaps in communication, but what where are we with that and why?
Thank you for all the easy questions.
Well, what you just tell me your perception, what you heard from my colleagues.
So I'll go back to the first days on the job for me is the 13th budget process. There was always a question by the council about where this 5/7 of our hot collection from the CBB came from. I think it was a handshake agreement between the council, CB, Tim Corinwell at the time, I think maybe coming up with that figure for funding the CBB. It was never any kind of contractual agreement, and the city just did that. And that was fine for a long time, up until about 2019, 2020, when we started to see a drastic increase in our hot collections, and a period of time between 2019, when the CBV budget went from just shy of $2 million contribution from the city, to 2021, 2022, that budget doubled. So the 5/7 of the total collection resulted in your budget going from a little less than 2 million to over 4 million in terms of the city's contribution. So the council continued to talk about this, and I suggested that we get this item on a special agenda to discuss this. We did. We had Randy Briley on council at the time. Randy was good at volunteering to dig into things, and he did that. And what he discovered was the CBB operating budget was about $1 million shy of what it was being funded every year, and that there was about $1 million being, give or take, being earmarked that was going into a reserve building. Speaking for my time as city manager, 2020-2021, when this increase started, there was a project developed, which was the expansion of the visitor center. And it was my understanding that project was born out of really the idea of buying down some of that surplus. It wasn't justified. It was a project that was developed to try to spend down some of that hot surplus funding. That didn't happen. This council right here predominantly didn't support that project. So again, that reserve continued to build. It's my understanding that's a little bit north of 5 million currently. So the current budget that we have adopted and the process that we're using is establishing a flat base budget, operating budget for the CBB, and that is done on an annual basis now, based on your exact needs, not 5/7 of an arbitrary number going up or down. It's my understanding that there's been that has caused a little bit of concern by the CBB board staff, not knowing if funding would be available if the council would continue to cut in future years. That's nothing that not a conversation that we've had with the council, continuing to cut that budget. I don't think that's anything that the council or staff had ever intended to do, but I completely understand that feeling and your need to maintain that reserve in case that did happen. So I think that points to a multi-year contract between the city and the CBB, and I've had this discussion with the council, and I think we're completely open to doing that. We certainly don't want you to be riding along not knowing whether or not you're going to be funded the next year, something like a three-year contract or something like that. But again, it was our understanding based on communications between Randy Briley and Brady that this would not impact your operating budget whatsoever.
That's not correct.
It's the assurance that we were given.
Absolutely. That was
okay.
The assurance that we were given literally, this is your budget, and you have this $1 million that's being earmarked and going into reserve, and we're just taking that off the top and funding your operating budget.
And see how that would make sense if that was the optics. That is not, in fact.
Okay.
And I wasn't in conversations with Brady other than him verifying to me that was correct.
I was, and that is true.
Yes, sir.
But the specific question was, does this impede you in any way in not only what you're doing now, but the trajectory of where you'd like to go? And the response was no. Okay, we got that.
So let me ask a question. You haven't dug into the reserves, have you? Operate?
Mm-hmm.
This year?
We have approved, the board has approved to pull reserves for some things, yes.
Emily, did you want to expand on that at all?
I think this brings up the point why we need to have more than a liaison talking to the executive director. We need to have these kind of conversations with everyone. Because I was told that the desire to pull that million was to throw it at the Pioneer Museum, which there are all kinds of statutory issues with that. It cannot be, my understanding is, it can't just be given in a huge chunk to a museum and just, operate. So that was concerning whenever I heard that after the fact, because again, we had the assurance that it was going to be okay for that, since y'all had such a
high level of reserves comparatively, looking at 90 days is kind of the standard for city to make sure they have. I know it's different for y'all. Mm-hmm. We also never had a conversation about any kind of multi-year agreement, which is key. Obviously, it can't be guaranteed, you know, funding. We can't say we will give you X, but based on a percentage, you know, the 5/7 to me, I was like, this is bizarre and arbitrary, but now I do see the merits of it for sure. There are some things that we have that are historical, like Operation Mark Pots. The whole square has been designated historic, so we have some operating, you know, costs that come out of pot instead of general fund.
And we've been pursuing the option of supporting emergency services, some of the emergency service and police that are attributable to a huge population explosion every weekend. Fire and EMS and police show us data every month about when the hot times are, and you know when they are, but what they have to respond to emergencies and so forth.
Two separate specific items that we've had numerous conversations with Scott Joslov about are, one, recouping costs associated with supporting special events, mainly on market plots, but parades, events on market plots, you name it. That impacts the city in terms of direct cost, somewhere in the range of $200,000 to $500,000 a year. And if you've ever talked to Scott, he will tell you that the work that you're doing is generating sales tax that supports your budget, so you really shouldn't need any HUD. And I get that, but we continue to tax our residents now, where we have a new fee that we're putting on every resident, whether you're over 65, a veteran, you know, a first-time homeowner, whatever.
We're considering.
Right. We're considering it. Sorry. Next meeting. So
tell
the
same.
I'm not going to tell you how I feel. It's just hard to continue to do things for free. I can tell you that in this world, and I don't think anybody as a business owner would disagree that that's difficult to do these days. But the second item we've been talking to Scott about is recouping cost for responding to individuals through fire EMS and PD that live outside of Gillespie County. 17% this last year, about 17% of our fire EMS budget, about a $4 million budget, was for responding to folks that come into the county outside, that live outside the city limits, our visitors. So about 20% of a $4 million budget is a lot. We have to have a lot more fire apparatus, EMS, ambulances, employees, you name it. And if you're a taxpayer in Fredericksburg, you're paying for that. And again, going back to, you know, Scott's philosophy is, you know, if those people are coming and you're responding, they're spending money, you have a lot more sales tax, and we understand that. But at the same time, when you look at and compare our ad valorem to our hot tax collection, those are almost the same. Our property tax revenue is just about the same as our hot. You look at our visitors and the percentage of sales tax that comes from them. You know, we live in a very unique set of circumstances here in town, and we really feel like we should be able to use some of that hot funding to recoup some of those costs. Now, that would probably require special legislation, which has failed in the past for other things, parks, you know, related to the city of Fredericksburg's request in the past. That's really not the way we had talked about proceeding with this. Scott understands that we're unique and feels like that's something that we may be able to utilize HOT for. We're not quite to the point where we have budgeted those funds, but we feel like we're very close. And again, we see it as ad valorem property tax relief for our residents, and a way to continue to, you know, utilize this growing pot of hotel occupancy tax funding.
So to speak to Scott's point on that, the beauty of having, in my opinion, a CVB in town is that we don't have any residents that are paying anything for what we do. As y'all know, it all comes through hot tax. So there's no expense to them. But what we're doing is creating a situation that increases sales tax. We're having them come in, we're having them stay longer, picking up the sales tax to support the city to be able to get those. We want those fire trucks. We want those police. We want that. But you have to, as you know, with Scott, really be so careful with what the state, not what we're deciding or not what y'all are deciding, but what the state is saying is legal use of hot funds.
So it's very difficult when you know, and Scott says that state's portion of pot, 1/12 of that funding goes to promote the state of Texas for tourism, and 11/12 goes directly into their general fund to support things like I'm talking about. So it's, you know, do as I say, not as I do, you know, kind of situation. Which, by the way, when we're out in the community, and we're out in the community a lot, we do hear a lot of negativity about the number of tourists, and we defend the CBB, and we talk about balance between community and tourism, and the fact that we use, I think it's 0.5%
That's right.
Total, right?
Of what we could charge. Yeah.
To buy down basically our property tax rate. We have a 20-cent property tax rate that we buy down by about 11 cents with that sales tax that you help the community generate. That is significant. For the average home price, that's $1,000 a year. That puts us right up, you know, where Bernie and Marble Falls, you know, a lot of our surrounding communities are paying in taxes at more, that much lower, because we have so much sales tax we're buying down. So we, you know, we promote that across town in the face of all the negativity, and we talk about this balance, and we understand the benefit of. But we're just trying to figure out how to use a little bit of this, you know, again, so that we don't have to continue to increase taxes, that tax burden on our residents. That's all that's about.
So you mentioned, I don't like councils, because we've had it done in the past, commit people way down the road. But I think, number one, when you did your budget, apparently you didn't get the number to Brady that he brought to us.
We were told to go ahead and do our budget, what we needed, which was 5.3, and we did it to the dollar. And then we were told back from council to turn it into 4.2. So we had to go back and take events and stuff to make it 4.2. There was never an extra $1 million out there. We had to shrink our budget to 4.2.
Okay. The other part on that is I think you do need to have, because I'm going to use a sore subject. I was on the hospital board for years. We would have never sold the hospital, but a different group of directors did sell the hospital. The council could decide that they don't like the CBB in the future. So I think you need to put some kind of basis in there to say at least a few years contract stating we get this at least.
What questions do you have?
I don't know if we want to get in to that, but I just want to say when Brady informed y'all that we could work on a $4.3 million budget, we can, but we lose opportunities when we get to that $5 million budget. There are new opportunities in sales and in marketing that we have had access to that we may not, because we are not on that DMO tier. So the DMOs were considered a small DMO now, because we're under 5 million. Once you get to the 5 million, you're a mid-size. And so lots of doors open up that we've had access to because our budget has been $5 million. I don't think that part of it was relayed.
I've lost access to so much opportunities for us as a city as being under a $5 million. So when we
just learned.
Yeah. Okay. So the way that DMOs work, $5 million up, yeah. you get invited to different conversations, a different seat at the table below that. So when we to speak to the reserve, when Ernie was pulling the reserve together for the building, it was less of a buy down. It was that we were all doing so well in our city.
our staff size was outgrowing. Plus, we were wanting to create a conference room that the city could use as well if they needed to come in. And so they were looking at that when it decided not to be, when that wasn't approved. Then we did have the reserve, but at the same time, to your point, we don't have guaranteed funding. And so there was the need to have that. But we celebrated as a CVB so hard when we got the 5.3, because I was invited to things with Brand USA. I was invited to have a conversation with the big cities in Texas, which we are so valuable in Texas. I mean, we're considered the jewel. We are a really, really great, healthy city. But I can have better conversations. And the second we went down to four, I have no access to this.
So just a question. You know, we have we use so much HOT for our operations, and we've talked in the past about letting CVB control the, you know, entire pot of hotel occupancy tax, you know, distribution of nonprofits and so forth. If we did that and you didn't use all of the funding for your operating budget, would that still kick you into that 5 million plus category?
I think so. Okay. I think so. And that really will just immediately, even in certain platforms, destinations, and routes, so it'll kick you to a different conversation, which is better for our residents and
students. So even if you were giving that away, but you were responsible for doing that, that would be considered part of your budget and kick you into that next year.
Yeah, who are these clarification DMOs that says 5 million is your VIP?
It's just like
it's like an association.
Yeah.
You know, you think of like the baseball, AAA, AA. It's just an association. It's
like, or like a school district, like 3A, 4A, 5A. It's just like that.
And they review your budget.
You have to submit it. And it's based on your operating budget, not the amount of HOT that's generated in a community.
Yeah, no, correct. It's not based on. So when it moved over out of ours, then I tried to log in on one yesterday, and it had already kicked us down to the 3 to 4.9 million.
So category. I think when you realize that, then you realize we have to be in that for our city. It's in our best interest.
Well, it'd be cool to know what opportunities. You know, just to have the conversation, not today, but another time.
One of the obvious gaps is you're talking about we need this to do this to qualify for this to be better. And I have no question about your motive for expanding the quality and the perception of quality of Fredericksburg. I take your point that we are special and we all wear that badge proudly. There's a gap between we want more to do more and how's that helping the person who lives on College Street. That's a gap. And that's not your fault. I'm just saying that's what I want to improve with City Council and CBB. Because you're busy doing your work and doing it well, and your criteria for doing really, really well is in-house, professional, so forth. And I'm not saying that there's not a connection. I'm saying that there's not a connection of understanding. Now, we'll never get everybody to agree, but we could do better, all of us, because I know that there are people who don't understand the half cent that we don't give to EDC that other county cities do, because we use it for property tax relief. And I know in the day from Tim Krenwagi, it was a handout, so to speak. It was a handout to the community to say this is sort of a compensation for having to put up with all the tourists. And can you imagine what it was like in 1992 when that was done? Now, 2025, when we're talking about a whole different set of tourism. So I think one of the takeaways from this is that we agree that we must be better on a routine basis of what our intentions are, what your intentions are for the better of the whole community. Because we're talking about significant dough here.
The fancy term is resident sentiment.
Yes.
There you go.
I hear that a lot of the time.
Okay. Okay. And y'all had that survey and you saw the, you know, people are just ticked off. Like, well, I don't get the point.
And we can do a better job now that we're understanding more and at the table. To pull that million out, it's not necessarily like we want to use it like we want. It needs to go to arts, to working together, that maybe it's owned here, but that y'all are directing really more on.
It's fair enough under the circumstances of the communications problems that you saw it as a punishment. you decide, well, we're going to hold this back because we don't think you need that much.
I saw it as kind of like a handicap, like you, I was being yeah.
Or maybe not a punishment, but I'd pay. Yeah, hey, yeah. We're not sure what's going on here, so let's get it. Yeah. But I think in-house, we intended it to be trying to straighten out the relationship between the funding process, and also we had some designs to improve historic preservation and arts because we were not getting the information that was required to change that attitude from the request. So now I think we have better understanding. Anything else?
I'm encouraged and excited about this conversation. It needs to continue.
I agree. And it's just kind of the Fredericksburg way. Once you sit down and talk to each other instead of about each other, good things happen.
So the questions, you come back to us for a budget increase, or do you dip into your reserves to make it through this year?
If we can
lead to
the board on
the calendar year.
If we can lead to the
board, is your budget a calendar year?
No, they're on our budget.
October. Same as ours. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes. So to dip out, and that would be with the board, but for to dip into the reserves won't help us get to be a 5 million DMO. It won't fix that problem, but we would be healthy to get the money.
So the board may come back and say we need more.
And that would be tied into this comprehensive conversation of a multi-year funding, because you can't really plan.
No. What kind of multi-year do you need? What would be?
We have banded around the idea of three. It's not like a scientific basis for that, but we've talked about three.
That's kind of what we've talked about. I think we could probably agree to that.
You don't want 100-year like
that. That's what THC wants.
First, yeah, I'm excited about this.
We can start there.
Yeah.
I'm just curious on the DMO, if is that done on an annual basis, or if you can show that your budget's been increased to 5 million, you can get back in it immediately.
Yes, I will
immediately.
I'll make a call back to all of them. Okay. I'll
make
scrappy.
It yeah.
And I've got that.
And along with that, and Karen has enlightened us about this too, it actually impacts our hiring too, mm-hmm. because you have folks that are looking at, well, I'm already running a $5 million organization, why am I going to step down to a three or whatever? So that actually has an impact on the candidates that it could. I'm not saying it would. It could have an impact on the candidates that we can draw in.
And so, it was with the job description as well, because typically for a budget in that three that we got, it's going to give us a tier C candidate, which is either a first-time CEO or somebody that's been there between 1 and 5 years. A $5 million a $5 million budget allows us to get a CEO starting at 10 years and above. We have CEOs that are interested in applying that are 20 years plus, and they're not going to come back, and they're not interested in looking at one.
We have our own a relationship to that. The $400 a month draws the best people to be city council. And $1,000 a month for the best mayor that draws those people. I don't want anything else.
So what are our next steps?
Yeah, that's right.
Our next steps from our perspective, well, I'll let them know.
Financially, I'd love to see the breakdown of how the categories are.
You don't have specifically historically
arts. Yeah, we'll send you the job description for the CEO to you all, and the breakdown of our spending to the CVB budget to you all. Those are the two things that we know of our task. Is there anything else that you all wanted us to do?
We had something scheduled in December to get an update. So when can we? I mean, I know you said you're hiring in April.
You've got to go to your board.
Would y'all be comfortable presenting before someone's hired? I would like a public update for the town before April.
Our hired CEO would be grateful if we had that prior. So yeah.
So that's been a potential date for that based on our schedule.
December 16th.
Yeah, can we do it that way? January. I mean, early
February. I'm saying January.
Regular schedule is the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Right. So we think we'll look at January. Would that work?
Be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. At least present to the public this conversation and new understandings.
HOT. So we've already passed the deadline for HOT applications for the local entity. So this wouldn't be something we could do for 2026 events, but would love to continue the conversation of what that would look like, communicating well and often with the people for that turnover. And maybe, I don't know, we could set a goal for 2027 funding, that it would look very different.
So are you saying that we can't increase this thing before July, August?
Yeah, we could. You're talking specifically about the grant applications.
Yeah, I'm talking about grant application for the local nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
We could
change that.
Yes, I'm totally game for that. Changing the process.
Okay. We would talk amongst ourselves about supplementing the current budget. I'm not gonna commit anybody to that.
Yeah. Going into reserves would kick y'all that much appreciated.
Okay.
An amendment.
And proposal for a multi-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our part. I can't commit because we're not in session for this deliberation, but I can tell you that that's something I sense that the council would like to take up, and yes, sooner than later. Anything else before we draw this to a close?
I think staff is doing a fantastic job not having a CEO. Congratulations.
Are you sure you need one?
I'm going to speak on at least my part of staff. We've never felt more encouraged and embraced by just support from the board and from the city and from you guys. Thank you so much for this conversation. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate your work. I know some of you are paid, many of you are volunteer. Thank you. That's how the city runs. Anything? Bobby?
Nope.
Tony?
I just had one question about Clinton on the weekly meetings. When did you want to, would that be also in January? Did you want that right away, Dave, for the CBB meeting?
Weekly
update. Doesn't need to be a meeting, KJ. Yeah,
just an email.
Just updates. Doesn't have to be there.
Do y'all have a template or anything that the other departments use?
Yes.
Can you share that?
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just a short little blurb.
Great.
Okay.
You could create a template and just do it every week.
Yeah. We'll send you something.
So next we're talking about a strategic plan that we will hopefully develop early next year and get in place. I might suggest that as we kick off each year, updating that strategic plan ahead of the budget process, that we invite the CBB and the EDC to that strategic planning workshop so that we can all get on the same page in terms of mission and vision for the year.
Well, while you're speaking of that, I won't be involved next year, but I would like to recommend to the council that when you get into the budget process next year, next July, June, July, so forth, since we have any number of meetings where we have open discussion, that we invite the full CVB board to discuss their budget and the full EDC board to discuss its budget, not just the director.
Yes, sir.
Anything else? Thank you. I will adjourn.
Thank you all.